businesses for the most part are created backwards. What most people do, especially when you have a business that transitions from a hobby to a profession, what most people do wrong is they build the business they want, the business that they're passionate about, the business they're excited about. In other words, they build a box and then they spend years trying to fit people into the box they built. Lesson number one, the best thing you could do is first determine who you're meant to serve and build the box for them. And you'll be amazed at how easy business actually can be.
And welcome to the live stream show. And today, the big question that we are asking is, are you living your best self-employed life that is possible for you? Over the last 2 years, all of us, even the people who were not working for themselves, got a really big taste of what it was like, because we've all been in this work from home and work at home mode. And during this time, there's this big trend that people have been kind of rethinking their lives and rethinking their purpose and rethinking whether or not they want to go back to working and living in the way that they were prior to our social distancing and our pre-pandemic world. A lot of people are moving from working for someone to working for themselves. And the rest of us who have actually been working for ourselves all during this time have even had more time to be thinking about, well, how do we want to live our lives in the new normal? The problem, the biggest deal here with all of this is that everyone gets into their own business thinking that, well, I'm doing this because I want more freedom and I want to live my purpose and I want to do the things that I really truly believe in, the things that are most creative to me. And the issue is that often when we get there, when we've created and built this thing that we wanted to build for ourselves, it ends up looking like this never-ending gerbil wheel of work. We end up working long hours and maybe not paying ourselves very much and sacrificing the other parts of our lives. And this is not what we wanted. This is not the thing that we were looking for. So to help us address all of these issues, I have brought Jeffrey Shaw onto the show to talk about this. Now, he has a brand new book that's called The Self-Employed Life, which tackles all of these issues. And I'm really excited to talk with him. He got his start as one of the best high-end portrait photographers in the country. Very successful. And then since that time of running that business, has switched to becoming a branding and business coach for all of the people like you and me who are working for ourselves. And I'm really excited to bring him on. I'm going to hit the intro and we will get started with our show. Recorded live in Boston, Massachusetts, this is the live stream show. In a world full of underexposed entrepreneurs, the live stream show is your gateway to a global community of live stream pioneers who dare to go live and create something special and unexpected, which could only happen because it was live. I'm your host, Brad Powell. Let's get on with the show. Welcome to the show, Jeffrey.
Hey, Brad, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. It's a topic I'd love to talk about.
Yeah, right. Well, just to start a little bit, I'd like to dig in just a little bit to your background. And when I was in high school is when I fell in love with photography, because I took my very first photography class there. And literally, it was probably the thing that kept me from quitting school. It was like, oh,
me too.
I finally found something that I actually like doing while I'm at school, which was really different from all the other things that I was doing, which I pretty much hated. But I actually, during that time, like, I really thought photography was my thing, but I did not immediately go off and become a professional photographer. So I'm really curious, like, how did you come up with the courage to start your own photography business? And As you were doing that, like, what did you find were your biggest challenges in working for yourself during that time?
Yeah. So I'll even go back a little further than that to say that I've actually always been self-employed. I've never had a job. I've never received a paycheck from anyone other than myself. So my self-employment journey began when I was 14 years old. I was selling chicken eggs, you know, from a chicken. I was selling eggs door to door. I lived in the country. And that just made a lot of marketing sense to me. And it was very much a personal challenge. And I talk about this in my book that I think a lot of us become self-employed because it's the biggest stretch that we can imagine for ourselves. So yes, I got a little older. I went to high school. Like you, I fell in love with photography in high school and decided to pursue it as a career. Honestly, I decided to pursue it as a career. I didn't know what would become of it. I didn't know how marketable the idea was, but it seemed to be the right career choice because I was considered myself very shy at the time. I very withdrawn. And to me, it was kind of the ideal profession to hide. You know, back in the day, we had dark rooms. And if I was out photographing on the streets, I had a camera between me and the world, and that made me feel safe. Undoubtedly, the biggest challenge I faced, as I think is often true for many of us, is that I wasn't clear on who I was serving when I started out. And I've often said, businesses, for the most part, are created backwards. What most people do, especially when you have a business that transitions from a hobby to a profession, what most people do wrong is they build the business they want, the business that they're passionate about, the business they're excited about. And in other words, they build a box and then they spend years trying to fit people into the box they built. Right? So lesson number one, the best thing you could do is first determine who you're meant to serve and build the box for them, and you'll be amazed at how easy business actually can be. So whether it's, for me, I was 3 years into my career, whether it's 1 year in, 3 years in, or 20 years in, the best thing you can do, which is often the biggest challenge people face, is that they're still trying to fit people into the box they created and aren't taking the time to understand within themselves, who are they meant to serve, who wants that, how do I build a business brand message and a business model that is the box that people want to come into? And in many ways, you can sit back and watch people come into the box because you have learned to attract the people that want what you've built.
Yeah, build the box that people actually are looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it seems so basic, but fundamentally, businesses are typically built backwards. And it is even worse so. I will say it is even more so when it's a business that transitions from something you're passionate about into a career, because you never defined the line. You just kept going with your passion and you never defined the line. Like, well, who wants this? Who will love this?
Yeah. It also reminds me, and speaking of just building boxes, like in my first business, which was an outdoor sailing school and which succeeded, like it ended up being bought by Outward Bound. And then I became the director of an Outward Bound program. But when I started that program, it was because I loved sailing. I loved being in the outdoors. I loved all of that. And what happened? I ended up being the director of this outdoor school, which meant that I spent almost all of my time in an office in front of a computer, you know, playing around on the internet and, you know, and being on call on a cell phone to people who were out in the field, sort of handling all the trouble and worst, you know, things you could imagine that teenagers might do while they're on an outbound course. Yeah. And so, you know, I built this great box, but that was based on my passion for the outdoors. And what I ended up with was a box where I almost never got to go outdoors.
Yeah. Yeah. You alluded to this right in the beginning so brilliantly, which actually is the entire reason I wrote my book. You know, I mean, I had observed years and years of asking people, why did you go into business? Like you say, everybody has the same answer. Why did you go into business for yourself? Everyone has the same answer. And everyone says, I wanted to control my future. I want to control my destiny. I want to control the hours I work. To which I like to say to them, and how is that going for you? right? And everyone laughs because it turns out that's not so much the case. So one thing I often tell, just to be practical, I will tell self-employed mm-hmm. business owners, and it kind of taps into my photography roots, is the rule of thirds. The fact of the matter is that you're probably going to spend a third of your time running the business, about a third of your time getting the business, and about a third of your time actually doing what you love to do, which is probably your billable hours too. So this also becomes an important understanding to understand what you need to charge, because you're probably only able to bill out. And I'm not by any means suggesting you charge by the hour. I'm actually very opposed to that. I'm more value-based. But the fact of the matter is, only about a third of your time is actually going to be time in which you can make money. Because when you're self-employed, you actually have a third of your time going to admin and a third of your time to going to marketing to get the work. Okay. So, you know, that's fundamentally kind of the business model of it. But what we really, really want is this craving to have the freedom in an uncontrollable circumstance. And that's why I wrote my book, because it amused me, but also saddened me how many people went into business for themselves, became self-employed with the desire to control their lives and found it uncontrollable. And I asked myself, is there a solution to that? And I realized I had built as much of a solution to that as possible throughout my business years. And it's what I taught other people, and it's how I coached my clients. And it's based on this concept. While we can't control the world, we can't control the economy, we can't really even control the results we get. The only thing that we can truly control is the environment we create for the results we want. That you're in full control of. The marketing messaging to attract your ideal customers, the business structure that's profitable, the mindset and personal development that you do on yourself. All of that is creating the environment for the results you want. And the personal development, by the way, I'll say is an important part of that environment, because it's why, as you alluded to earlier about the gerbil on the wheel, the reason often small business owners, self-employed business owners feel like a gerbil on the wheel is because they keep applying more action, but they haven't actually created the environment within themselves, the mindsets, the personal development. They haven't created the environment within themselves to actually receive the benefits of the work. If you're holding on to a limited mindset of what you think you deserve, and you're putting in effort that's bigger than what you currently believe you're capable of or that you deserve, you're not getting anywhere. So that's the core concept of my work, which is why what I've turned that into is what I call the self-employed ecosystem, and looked at what I think are the three key elements of a self-employed ecosystem in order to achieve the success you're looking for and get off the gerbil wheel, as you called it. I always called it a hamster wheel. I like that you call it a gerbil wheel, so I'm going with that. I always called it a hamster wheel.
Yeah, I don't know why I chose gerbil, but that's there it is. Like, maybe I just like gerbils. Yeah, so in your book, which I'm going to re-mention, The Self-Employed Life, it's the name of the book. In there, you do have these three components. There's personal development, and there's strategies, and then there are daily habits. And in the beginning of the book, when you're talking about personal development, there's a whole chapter on getting out of your own way, which really resonates with me, because most of the people who I work with, this is the big challenge for them when it comes for them to show up using this medium, using video, getting in front of the camera. We have this amazing moment in time and in history where every single one of us can have our own media company. Like mm-hmm. when it comes to marketing and when getting our message out, just with a phone or just with a microphone like this, you know, you can be talking to your exact audience in the way that you would like to talk with them. And yet most people are not allowing themselves to get out of their own way to enable themselves to actually speak up and show up for their audience. So how do you look at that in terms of helping people make that leap of like, okay, yeah. Now I'm going to Aikido move on myself and and be another person.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's for a business book, and both my books, Lingo and The Self-Employed Life, they're both categorized as business books, right? So, yep. And that's, I want to be, you know, position my, make sure I'm positioned as a business author, but it's unusual for a business author to, both my books are, at least a third of the book is about personal development. And that's an unusual approach. In fact, I really challenged when I had to categorize the book in Amazon, I was really challenged by my category choices, right? Because there was sort of like the business category and then there's self-help category. And, you know, I was like, well, where's the, and there is an entrepreneurship category. But to me, the entrepreneurship kind of crossed that bridge because it's to be successful, particularly being self-employed. And that's why I hone on that. To me, I always say it's not an accident that self-employed begins with self. It's one of the things to own your own business and to be self-employed. One of the things that makes it so unique to any other way of being in business is the direct relationship to who you are as a person. Even if you're not a personal brand, which of course so many people are today, but even if you're a product-based company, you know, how you plan out that business, what you foresee, what you imagine is possible for that business is always going to come back to what you think you're deserving of or what you think you're capable of or how much you think that you're worth. It's always going to come back to that. So it's always, when you're self-employed, it's always going to return back to you as the leader of that business and your own personal development, which is why the way I present it in the book is that your level of success is proportionate to your level of personal development. To kind of bring this idea home, one of the key elements I see people stuck with is around deserving. I call it the deserving ceiling. Most of us have pre-established what we think we deserve. And if you, no matter how much effort you put in, and you're running like that gerbil on the wheel, no matter how much effort you're putting in, until you've raised your deserving ceiling, you're going to keep getting the limit of what you think you deserve. The rest of it, you're going to push off. The rest of it, you're going to screw up. The rest of it, it's going to be self-sabotage, right? Because you haven't done the work to first raise the ceiling of what you believe you deserve. So it always comes back, I think, particularly when you're self-employed. You know, often when I say, because it's, we'll hear people talk about when you're self-employed, you know, there's no division between your business and you personally. That's true, but often misinterpreted. I hope that there is a division between your business and your personal life. I hope you do have boundaries. I hope you do know when to stop working and be with your family. But what isn't, what never happens is, as I said, your level of success won't exceed how far you personally have grown. And that's why when you're self-employed, it's so much of it is personal work. I've always turned to how much do I need to grow as a person? And sometimes that's how much do I need to grow in my skill set? But most often it's how much do I need to grow in my mindset so that the hard work I'm going to put into my business is going to pay off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so key. Like our success comes from who we are. Really inside who we want to be and actually embodying that. Again, back to my roots of doing Outward Bound. All that work was about character development. You know, it was 100%. Completely about, it wasn't about learning how to sail. It wasn't about challenging the outdoors with gusto. It was really about sort of two basic things. Like, how are you with yourself? Like literally, can you deal with yourself under challenging circumstances, and can you deal with other people under challenge? Yeah. Those two things, really good entrepreneurial training, by the way.
Yeah. Sort of. I was going to say, I mean, I've taken numerous leadership courses and it's all personal development, you know, I've received over 1,000 hours of training as a coach. And I had to say the coach training was a little bit more tactical, right? The coach training was a little bit more about listening skills, but leadership training, which is you know, in the work that I did, the leadership training was at a higher level than even the coach training. The leadership training was all personal development. It was all personal challenges to find more in yourself than you think you're capable of. It was really pushing, like Outward Bound, it's pushing yourself to the limits so that you grow. And as you grow, you're able to lead other people better.
Okay, so with this personal development work, as a nice segue into the strategy world, at the beginning of the strategy session, you talk about the way you describe and think about things like marketing. And instead of you, and the whole thing of like the nomenclature and how we think about our audience and how we think about funnels and sort of this traditional conventional wisdom around, well, what do you need to do and how do you need to act as a marketer? And sort of throwing all that out the window. And instead of using the word marketing, you prefer the word enrollment. Mm-hmm. You know, so talk to that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm so picky on the energy of words. And I think it probably harkens back to being a photographer, because I used to joke that photography terms are just awful, right? We shoot people, we hang them. Like, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, photographers often joke about that. But in some ways, it wasn't a joke, because I used to be very sensitive to, like in my business, we would call them sessions. We wouldn't call them photo shoots, right? So, you know, at one point I recognized in my business, when people back in the day of paper proofs, pre-digital, when people would come in to see the selection of portraits I did for them, we used to call it a viewing appointment, until one day I realized that sounds an awful lot like a funeral. Like, that just a viewing, like, come, you know, come to your viewing. So we changed it to, I think it's called the decision appointment or portrait choice appointment. So I'm very particular. And hey, I wrote a book called Lingo, right? Lingo is a brand messaging strategy, but really at the heart of it, it's the energy of the words that you use as a marketer to draw your customers in. To go another layer underneath that, it's also, what are the words that you say internally in your business? Because that's going to, the way you speak about your actions and the way you speak about your customers within your business, believe it or not, they're going to feel, right? The customers are going to feel how you talk about them from a marketing perspective. And then, of course, there's the lingo we say to ourselves, right? How are you talking to yourselves? So I am very particular about the energy of words. And I know for certain you get a better result in your business if you shift the energy by which you talk about it. A lot of marketing words, like photography terms, have very bad energy. The fact that we call our audience that we want to reach, the fact we call it a target market, let me think about that. I mean, it's, if you are referring to the audience that you're trying to impact as a target audience, I can't help but believe the way you go about your marketing is going to be aligned with your feeling that you're trying to target people. And same thing with marketing. We don't have a marketing plan in my business, we have an enrolling plan. How can we enroll people into the business? I'm the founder of the Self-Employed Business Institute. So we're always enrolling students. We call it an enrolling process. The first payment is an enrollment fee. And what this does, because if you look at the word marketing is almost always followed by marketing at or marketing to. So in other words, if you're embracing your marketing at people, marketing to people, you're pushing. And when we push, people back up. But when you think about your marketing as if in the energy of enrolling, it flips the burden of responsibility to say, it's my job as the business owner and marketer to enroll people towards me, to invite them to take the next step closer, which is why what I introduced in the book the main concept of the book is hug marketing. And it's a different approach. It's my solution to a marketing funnel, because again, I hated the energy of a marketing funnel, because to me, by pure visual, a marketing funnel is wide and open, and you could even say open-hearted at the top, with the sole goal to squeeze people through a small hole. And I don't see how that can possibly feel good to the people receiving the energy of how you're putting yourself out in the world. So in my desperation of trying to. And what I'm always trying to do is not solve just my own problems, although often the problems we solve for ourselves end up being a solution that people are looking for. I was just very sensitive to the fact that self-employed business owners are kind of creeped out by a lot of business practices. They're creeped out by selling. They're creeped out by marketing. They're creeped out by determining their prices. The reason they're creeped out by it is because they don't want to do it the way it's always been done to them. They don't want to do it in the way that they see it in the world. So I'm always trying to offer a different solution. This is the hug marketing is the way self-employed people want to market because they don't want to be creepy.
Yeah, that was one of the things that really jumped out at me. I love the concept of hugging your audience.
Yeah. And just to summarize, so I don't know if we're going to go through it.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's talk about hug marketing for a little bit.
Instead of the typical marketing funnel and the shape of that, this is a series of concentric circles. So again, one of the things I love about it is how it flips the burden of responsibility. The responsibility being now on the business owner to bring people closer. So in a series of concentric circles, hug market, the goal is a hug. The goal here is not just customer acquisition, but it's to build relationships with those customers that are so significant that if you were to meet one another in person, you would naturally want to hug each other, assuming it's safe to do so. So if you look at it visually, it's a series of concentric circles. The outermost ring are people that I call lurkers. They're the people that are watching what you do, but you don't know them by name, right? They're lurking. They're lurking in the peripherals. Your challenge is, how do I take people that are watching me, probably on social media? That's, to me, is the whole reason why you do social media, is you're trying to build up a large audience of lurkers. People that are watching you, watching your moves without you even knowing their name. Your job is to take those lurkers and do something that makes them curious so that they come in one more step, which is the curious step. All right. So at this point, they're not just watching you from afar, they're leaning in. Next is, what are you going to do that's so compelling to someone who's curious about you that they're going to now start engaging with you? This is when you start seeing them engaging on your posts. Often you'll see, if you're paying attention to social media, you'll see somebody connect with you on LinkedIn and you'll see them following you on Instagram. Like, they suddenly are all in and they are engaging with you in that way. The next step is a critical one because it's what you want or you think you want, which is to be connected with them. This is likely to be when they opt into your email list. Maybe you've created a lead magnet or something like that. Now there's a direct connection. That's a big step, and it's one that should be respected by the business owner, because that's when they're surrendering their email, which is never free. Then they know it. There's a price to pay for surrendering your email. So it should be respected, and that's the connected stage. Of course, the goal is that they become a customer, right? But we don't stop there. Once you've acquired customers, what a lot of business owners leave sitting on the table is turning those customers into the hug customers. When they're loyal, when they come back to you time and time again, when they become your best advocates, your sources of referral. Those are the customers that you just, like I said, if you were to see each other in person, you would naturally be inclined to want to give each other a hug. As a podcaster of 7.5 years, I'm fortunate to have listeners all over the world. And as I travel and post on social media that I'm going to be somewhere, sometimes it's even on a personal vacation, listeners will often reach out to me and say, "Hey, I heard you're going to be in such and such place. I would love to meet you." And if I can, I will. And I guarantee you, even if it's somebody that has been listening to my podcast for a year, a couple of years, or several years, there's just no way I'm not going to meet that listener and want to hug them as a greeting. So, because it's the depth of the relationship. So hug marketing, which truly has become the meat and potatoes of the book, is the thing everybody's pulling out of the book. It's even been suggested to me that possibly it could be a book into itself that could get pulled out, because it really does turn the energy of marketing upside down, so that self-employed business owners who tend to be more heart-centered and purpose-driven are far more comfortable with their marketing. And I like the fact that it places the burden of responsibility on the business owner to do the right thing, to do the work, to enroll people towards them.
Yeah, it just feels right. And you're right. You could go with hug marketing as a whole new project.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, we do. It's definitely the core of the Self-Employed Business Institute, because it's what people come into the Institute for. What's different in the Business Institute versus the book is that as an educational platform, it's a 5-month program, we have the time to actually build out the assets, like build the lead magnets, build your social media following. And that is something I wasn't even able to put into the book, but has become a really a lot more valuable, because all these things, because that's when business gets practical. Yep. Each of these steps of the hug marketing journey require assets, yep. right? It requires assets, and to have the time to actually build those assets, it makes a huge difference in your business.
Yeah. And one other thing that's required, which is the whole third section of the book, is your daily practice.
Yeah.
And, you know, the daily habits, the things that you are going to commit to doing on a regular basis, both for the work part of your life, as well as the other part of your life.
Yeah, 100%. And it's, you know, the reality is that, again, we can't change realities. We can't change the fact that it's an uncontrollable world, even though we thought we went into business to become, just, you have to accept that reality, but we can work with it by creating the environment for the results we want, by having a full and complete self-employed ecosystem. We also have to accept another reality being self-employed is that it's an emotional roller coaster. It just is. You know, you're not going to change the circumstances of it being an emotional roller coaster. In part, I think as self-employed business owners, we are more sensitive to that because we take it more personal. The old adage that business is business, don't take it personally, doesn't apply to us when you're self-employed. So it is an emotional roller coaster, and you're not going to change that. But you have to create, if you're self-employed, you're probably in this for the long haul. So especially today, by and large, you were talking about the Great Resignation. By and large, the reason people become self-employed is because they want to create the life of their dreams. That's why people are leaving their jobs, because they're realizing the job they have, the position they have in life now, is not the life of their dreams. So they're choosing self-employment as a path and a means to create the life of their dreams. So you're in it for the long haul. The only way you can survive the emotional roller coaster of being self-employed is to have consistent daily habits. That the result of that, it really isn't as much about the habit per se, as it is the result of having consistent daily habits is how it evens out your mindset. You just are able to let things roll off your shoulder a little more easily when you have built up the trust of knowing that you're going to be okay. One of the practices, the daily habits that I teach, which tends to be the most popular one, is what I call a what's going right journal. Mm. So the what's going right journal is my take on a gratitude journal, which I didn't find worked for me. And I don't think it works for a lot of people. Gratitude itself is a great thing, don't get me wrong, but it's very ethereal. And we want results. We hardworking people want results. So the what's going right journal is a process of journaling what's going right in your life. It's actually a practice of seeing despite what's going wrong. And the more things that are going wrong, the harder it is to see what's going right. That's even more so when you need to work harder on seeing what's going right. Because what you're doing is you're rewiring the brain. Because we are wired to see threats. We're wired to see negativity. We're wired to see the one criticism and not the 9 compliments. Okay? We're just wired for the threats. So we can change that with a daily habit of journaling every day what's going right, what's going right is, and making it, just journaling it in that way. What that does, the outcome of that, is that it creates a stability in your mindset that enables you far better, not entirely, but far better to withstand the emotional roller coaster of being self-employed. And that's important because, like I said, more people today are, you know, lifestyle self-employed, lifestyle entrepreneurs, because It's not as though their endeavor is to employ 20 people. They're probably in business for themselves to pay their bills and have a nice life and educate their kids, enjoy a great vacation. You know, that's the reality of self-employment today, which is why I use the word self-employment versus entrepreneurship. I think sometimes an entrepreneur-minded person might be more inclined to think about the business that they're going to build and sell. Self-employed people tend to think, what's the business I can build that's going to provide me with a great lifestyle? Yes, I may sell it, but what's important to me right now is that I get the rewards from that business that supports my life. And I think that's a distinguishable difference.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about how to build the life that you actually really want to be living. And I love the what's going right journal idea. That's so great. I'm going to have to start doing it myself. That, you know, because it's so true that you literally can reorganize the circuitry in your brain, tell yourself a different story, and just do that often enough to where, you know, whatever it was you were thinking, all those self-talk and the stories you tell yourself can become entirely new.
Yeah, your brain starts building that list all day long. Like, you're doing it as a morning practice.
Yeah.
But throughout the day, you're like, oh, that's going right. You start seeing, because what we know is what you focus on, you see more of, right? So if you're focusing on what's going right, you're going to start seeing more of what's going right. And it just starts building on itself. And boy, it certainly makes life a whole lot more pleasant.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I think that's a really great thing to wrap up on. If people want to follow up with you, if they want to get the book, maybe they want to go get involved with the Institute, you know, what are the good ways for people to follow up?
Sure. So my main website is jeffreyshaw.com, and you'll find
Super
your way
simple.
To most everything. We try to make it simple. I thank my parents for that, actually, for keeping it simple. and the Business Institute is selfemployedbusinessinstitute.com. So you can find out more about that directly there too.
All right. Well, I'll make sure that I have all that information in the show notes. I just want to thank you so much for coming on. This was really fascinating conversation. I actually feel like I could keep talking about this for a lot longer, but this was a really good start.
Great. Well, thank you for letting me share the word. You know, I told my publisher when we were working at our initial deal, it's like, I didn't just want to be the author of this book. I really want to be an advocate for self-employment. You know, and by the way, this book was written before the pandemic. I didn't know what was coming. You know, so this was written in 2019, you know, parts of 2020, but published
timing,
in 2021.
Timing is everything.
it was divine timing. It was really well served. But like I said, I really appreciate you having me on and giving me the opportunity, because I really think this is a movement. And I think, as it's a movement, I also think we need to take care of people as they go through these challenges.
Absolutely. Well, I'm with you 100%. All right. So we are wrapping up today. And if you got value from today's production of the Livestream Show, you can share this and you can go to thelivestreamshow.com and you can subscribe. There is an audio version. If you prefer to get your content as you're walking your dog or driving your car or washing your dishes and you just like to listen, this is an audio show and you can find out and get the whole archive at thelivestreamshow.com. Thank you guys so much for watching. I'll be back again next week. Until then, so long, everyone.